Hey, Daily Digest listeners. If you're like me, then you really enjoy Free Talk Live and the message of liberty. Yet you also may not have a lot of time to listen to an entire episode of Free Talk Live. So you listen to the Digest instead. If you enjoy the Digest, please donate $5 to $10 per month via Patreon, or send some Bitcoin or Ether instead. See the show description for details on how to do so.
Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Anthony, you are the creator, for longtime listeners of the show, they know you're the creator of the Jax wallet, the official wallet of Free Talk Live. That is the official Bitcoin and other cryptocurrency wallet. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back on.
Sure. So you were actually going to respond, I guess, to some of the, I guess, some concerns that some of our listeners have had surrounding the Jax wallet. They had posted on our AMP forum, and you figured it'd be best to just come on the air and talk about what's going on with Jax. Some people have said that it's just, you know, maybe a little bit slow for them. And did you want to address that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's part of what I wanted to come on for. You'd reached out to me yesterday and said there were some messages about that, and I went onto the AMP channel, and I think I pretty much cleared everything up. And then I thought it'd be just a good idea to give an update on what our path is. Let the people that are using the wallet understand a little bit more about what we're trying to accomplish, what are the complexities and the things that we're doing, the ground that we really are breaking, being a multi-token wallet that's available on multiple devices, that's dealing with experimental technology, which are blockchain, which are changing every day. So just thought I'd come in and just talk a little more about our path and maybe a little, get some understanding as to why things work the certain way that they do with the wallet. What we were noticing was, as we were adding more and more tokens, the complexities and the amount of work that was passed off to the phone to do was starting to slow it down as we were adding more and more tokens.
Ooh,
and it
so
was especially happening with the iOS devices.
Yikes. All right.
Yeah. So not an issue. What we did is we put a freeze on adding more tokens, especially onto the iOS device. So that's why not only is Dash not there, but there's also some of the ones that we'd added over the last couple months that aren't on Apple yet. Because what we've spent our time doing the last 2 months is completely doing an architecture overhaul to be able to, as we're adding more and more tokens, to ensure that the efficiency, the speed, and the user experience is going to be smooth. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example. My phone, I've got a newer phone. I got a Google Pixel. Works flawlessly, no issues. But if you have an older device, like maybe a year or 2 years old, because the keys are stored on your device, and that means that they don't leave your device, they're generated, created there, they stay there, it means that there's some extra work that we have to do with the device. It has to do some extra work that usually can get passed off to servers or get passed off to other things.
I'm looking at the app, or I was about 10 seconds ago. I had just closed it and trying to reopen it. And I know that you can, you know, hide certain currencies. So, like, I don't want anything to do with Ethereum, and I don't even want to see that wallet. So I can hide that. So I'm showing Bitcoin and Dash. And I wasn't seeing a way to adjust to see what other currencies. So is that something that is standard, or was I just having a glitch?
Do you mean to add other currencies if you want to see them?
Yes.
Yes. So if you go into the menu, which is the hamburger menu on the right.
Okay. I see that now. I did not see that when I had the app pulled open just a minute ago.
What you could do is in the menu there, you can hide the ones you don't want to see. And you could also sort them in the order of preference as well, so you can put them in the order that you want.
Yep.
And that makes it, because we were finding, you know, exactly what you were saying there, Daryl, is when if you're a Bitcoin user and you don't care about Ethereum and you just want to see Bitcoin, you shouldn't be forced to see the Ethereum there as well.
Right.
So
see that Zcash is on here now. Very
Zcash
happy about that.
That's
right.
One of the newest ones that you've added in there. And I know that Monero, which is a very popular anonymous cryptocurrency, some of our listeners are huge fans of Monero, and they've been waiting eagerly for Jax to introduce Monero as its newest currency. Because as I understand it right now, the Monero currency doesn't even have its own GUI for a computer. I mean, this will be like a really big deal when this Monero wallet comes
GUI
out.
GUI being the graphical user interface.
Yeah. So this is where I want to really stress and kind of give my whole team props, because we were the first Ethereum wallet. You know, we were the first Ethereum Classic. We are the only Zcash wallet.
Oh, wow.
We've got another technology called Rootstock that's emerging to help out support Bitcoin. We're the test wallet for that.
You guys had to recode a bunch of stuff from scratch and basically cover new ground because Monero is not like Bitcoin. It's completely different. It was itself built from scratch, unlike most of the other cryptocurrencies, which are sort of copies and slight modifications to the Bitcoin software. But Monero is totally different. And so you guys had really nothing to go on except for whatever their original code was for Monero, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. We classify coins into three different segments. We've got Bitcoin ones, which are like the Litecoins, the Dogecoins, all the ones that are basically a Bitcoin clone that took the original Bitcoin code, made a few tweaks to it, and then released it. So there's tools out for some of that stuff. And then you have Ethereum, which has a number of tokens built on top of it. You've got Augur, you've got a bunch of other ones, which are tokens on top of Ethereum. So that's the second one. And then Monero we classify in the third category, which is like a whole new thing. So we've literally spent months of work trying to get the Monero wallet going. And
wow.
just about a week and a half ago, we did our first transactions on Jax. So it's working. But it's being meshed now with the new architecture that we're putting in place in order to make sure that once we put Monero in and Dogecoin, we got Dogecoin coming as well,
oh, wow,
that it's not going to slow things down as we're adding more and more tokens. So that's what's actually what we're doing right now is Monero's done, and it's about putting it in the new architecture mm-hmm. that separates the different tokens even more so that if you don't want Ethereum, initially you could hide Ethereum, but it would still be downloading everything for Ethereum. And maybe you can explain why Monero is different and why people are so excited about Monero. Is Monero has it's adding the extra privacy so that you can't see transactions.
Right.
Okay, so you need a separate key in order to see the transactions for a particular account. And that's the main difference. You know, with Bitcoin, you can see all the transactions if you have the address. And that's why people say it's pseudonymous, is because, you know, you don't know necessarily who's behind the keys and who's behind the transactions, but you still get to see all the transactions. With Monero, right, it has a separate key. And that's where the difference kind of comes in, is you need that key in order to see the transactions. So in order for us to get balances and see the transaction histories, that key is needed. And that's where the complexities came in, is how does things get put in place where the general public don't have that view key, but we still need to see that view key in order for you to be able to see your transactions and your balances and things. So that's where the added complexity came in, with a separate key that is needed in order for us to facilitate the standard things that you need in a wallet, which is how do you get a balance for an account and how do you see the transaction histories for a particular account. And that's really where the complexities were.
Anything else you want to add in about the Jax wallet and what's coming maybe on the distant horizon?
Sure. So the overall plan for Jax is to become the interface for blockchain. That's what we feel is really missing in the blockchain space, is a way for the communities to have one application that kind of rallies together and supports all the different blockchains and brings a user experience similar to like the browser did for the internet. So before the browser came about, there's a lot of stuff for developers, a lot of command line stuff. And then mm-hmm. as soon as the browser emerged, people can say, oh, now I understand that it's really just a source to see data that's collected. And then people like my dad, the masses, can actually use the technology. That's what we're bringing. We develop products for the masses. We develop products so that my dad can actually use something. If he wants to store his Bitcoin, he doesn't have to download the whole blockchain. He doesn't download parts of the blockchain even. He can actually have an interface and have a very easy way to be in full control of his keys, knows what's going on, and interact between different blockchains and really have that user interface and experience very similar to what the browser did for the internet.
Pocatello, Idaho. Whenever it snows, Mitch Fisher is ready to help out his neighbors, whether it's clearing the sidewalks or trying to clear the streets. When the area was hit with a storm around Christmas, he was out in the street with his ATV. He says, I take care of the neighbors. They're elderly. I like to help them out.
Oh, that's nice.
On Wednesday, however, Pocatello police officers cited Fisher for an infraction. And this is the part that I did not tell you, Ian, because I want your honest reaction on the title of this infraction: placing or depositing material on a public right-of-way.
Okay. It sounds like you could get that ticket for letting your dog do his business on the sidewalk or something like that.
Well, that's why you're supposed to pick it up. They've got the sign, you know, like pick up after your dog.
That's what it's, and when I hear that, that's what I think of as far as like maybe that's why it was written.
Carries a cost of more than $200. And I hate the way they use the word cost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's your ticket. It will cost you... No, the fine is $200. Chapter 9 of Pocatello City Code states, it is unlawful for any person to deposit, place, or allow to remain in or upon any public right-of-way any material or substance injurious to persons or property. In this case... In this case, the public right-of-way was the street. He was plowing the snow off of the street, but was cited for putting things on the public right-of-way.
Well, he was putting things on the sidewalk area or wherever it was he was plowing it to.
It wasn't even the sidewalk.
Okay.
Let me tell you. He said that he argued he wasn't moving the snow into the street, but that he was doing the opposite. He moved the snow into a pile next to his curb. Some of these comments are absolutely priceless. One guy, ARA5353, says, I wonder... If that cop saw me brushing the snow off of my car window and roof before driving it, if he would give me a ticket for placing or depositing material on a public right-of-way. Just when I think people can't be any dumber, someone goes and proves me wrong.
Yeah, this is pretty outrageous.
And then somebody responds to that, brushing your car, he'd take you to jail and shoot your dog. Uncle John says the cop was just doing his job. As a mindless revenue collector, I guess there were no kids' lemonade stands to shake down in the wintertime.
Zing. This is one of the things that government does, and they do it well, but doing it well in this case is a bad thing. They intercede, and they kind of make it comfortable for people to not know who their neighbors are, to rely on the government for things rather than relying on their neighbors, to contact the government when they have a problem with their neighbors. So rather than just going straight to the neighbor's door, knocking on it, introducing themselves, and or picking up the phone and calling them if they already know them, they call the government, complain to the government, and say so-and-so neighbor is doing X, Y, or Z, and then they want the government to go and do their dirty work for them, which is to have some sort of stern conversation, you know, with the neighbor and tell them, you better stop doing this or else. And it's not a neighborly thing to do.
Right. And a lot of times, you know, the people that wind up making the rules, they want people to rely upon government. They don't want people to do this themselves. No, we can't allow everybody to just plow their street. There would be mayhem and chaos and anarchy. So we have to make a law saying that it's illegal for you to plow the street because only we know how to do that.
I heard a sports broadcaster say a few months ago that the driverless car was going to be the end of talk radio.
Why is that? Sports radio.
Because you can play chess if you want, or you can play poker while you're driving.
Well, why would that end talk radio? I mean, people like to listen to opinions and, you know, have it out with folks or whatever.
Right, but if you don't have to, you know, pay attention to the road,
right,
you can focus on other things. So you could read a book. You could work on your laptop. You mm-hmm. could, as Johnny said, play chess. You could wind up snooping.
There's a lot of things that were supposed to kill radio, Johnny Ray. I mean, if you think about when television hit the scene, there was a big concern.
Video killed the radio star.
Except it didn't.
The reason I hate driving is because the more time you spend on the road behind the steering wheel, the higher your chances of having an interaction with police.
That's the reason you hate driving. Interesting.
That's a good reason for it. You know,
I would figure it was the other drivers.
A lot of them, but also the, you know,
the cops.
I don't want to interact with cops. And the more often you're behind the wheel, the higher
that's true.
Chance.
In the book here, Henry Hazlitt is just making kind of one general statement here, and that is that there are these people in politics who are constantly pushing the idea of more jobs, more jobs, more jobs. And, you know, that doesn't sound like a bad idea. But ultimately, what he says is really the most important is whether or not we have full production instead of full employment. Why is that?
Because what you want is the fruits of your labor. The labor is what you have to put up with, is the sacrifice you make in order to increase your own personal wealth, or if you want to extrapolate the wealth of your nation.
Mm-hmm.
It's foolish to think that that what we really want is all the labor. And we don't want that. We want the rewards. We want the wealth that comes from doing the work. So if we can...
Because most people aren't going to jobs in order to have a job. They're doing it for other reasons, to take care of their family, to pay off a house, or to, you know, do things they love with their leisure time, or to have more leisure time. Maybe there would be fewer jobs after a lot of technology, but ultimately we wouldn't need as many jobs because everybody would be that much more productive.
Yeah, and... He also brings up this this fallacy that he's mentioned before, the idea that there's only so much work to be done, and if we've mistakenly figured out a way to do it with machinery, then the rest of the population will be idle and they'll take to drinking gin and who knows what, and so we have to spread the work around.
Go ahead.
Well, last week we talked to Mustafa in
Sierra Leone,
and he and his partner were trying to realize a dream where they could help their people grow more effectively.
Right.
In the U.S., people grow. I think a lot of people in Sierra Leone grow. They subsistence farm because it's necessary for them.
That's all they've got.
Yeah,
they don't have pesticides or fertilizers, is what he was saying.
There was something that I had wanted to mention from a book that I had read a couple years ago. It's actually designed for, you know, like school age children.
Okay,
but I had read it because I was doing a review for something for it. And I'm glad that this is actually the sample chapter that's put up on the website for the book. It's The Adventures of Jonathan Gullible. You've heard of the Philosophy of Liberty video.
Yeah, the same guy.
Right, it's the same guy, and that video was taken from, you know, the tail end of the book. But the sample chapter is titled Troublemakers, and it explains the absurdity of... you know, this fetish of full employment in a very humorous way. So the main character, Jonathan, hears a woman screaming about being arrested, and he looks around and he sees a bunch of guys hitting a tree with sticks. And he's like, what's going on? And they're like, we're tree workers. We work around the clock, and, you know, it can take hundreds of men around the clock, and if we're lucky, we knock a tree down in about a month. This woman showed up with a sharp piece of metal on the end of a stick, and she knocked a tree down all by herself in an hour.
Right.
And so then he says, well, if you, you know, wind up using this new technology to knock these trees down, then you can develop new products like tables and chairs. Listen, kid, the point isn't to wind up making new products. It's to make sure that everybody has a job.
If I'm right about this perspective that I got today, basically, if when employment gets, you know, closer and closer and closer to 100%, then the cost of labor will skyrocket. So if you have too much employment, then the price of everything is just going to go through the roof.
And the reason for that is what? Because everybody's got a job, so people have to bid up to get them to leave their jobs.
Right, exactly.
Meaning offer to pay more and more and more to get the best employees to leave their jobs.
Right, or, yeah, just to, yeah, as available labor shrinks, then the cost, the price that they could, that all of those free right. agents can demand is much higher. And
okay.
It just gets higher and higher. So I didn't realize that.
What's that have to do with inflation?
Because so much of the price of something is the cost of the labor imputed mm-hmm. into it. And that does not.
You're talking about price increases, not necessarily inflating the money supply.
Correct. I'm talking about price inflation.
Okay.
And I think that's what they. Well, maybe not. I was going to say I think that's what they mean too.
The Fed, you mean?
Yeah, the Fed, but probably not, because they're, you know, money is their product. So when they're talking about inflation, they're probably talking about inflating the money supply.
And, you know, they'll use these figures in determining whether or not to increase interest rates, maintain interest rates where they are, reduce interest rates. And they just recently, for the second time in, I think, 8 years, wound up increasing the base interest rate.
Here's this story that I was talking about with Donald Trump here. It's one of the, there's several variants on this, but the headline, and by the way, the website here, there's a bunch of them that have very similar headlines. This I just pulled out of Google. Investment Watch blog at the top graphic for the header, it says spreading the truth, empowering the people. Now, whenever somebody says they have the truth, I say look out, because, you know, they probably don't. In this case, headline, Trump moves to abolish the Federal Reserve and institute gold standard. Now, first of all, Trump can't really move to do anything yet. He's not the president at this point. He's still got to, you know, be sworn in a couple of weeks.
Well, I mean, really, yes, he can move to do that. He can't abolish it, but he can make some phone calls and do that sort of thing.
He could, you know, request Congress do something.
Yeah, but these stories about Trump, there's so many optimistic people out there. They are just going to be very disappointed with this guy, because they really think that this dude is going to be somehow super different from the establishment. And if he's wrong, then, you know, we'll admit it, and we'll, you know, give him credit where credit's due. Or if we're wrong about that, we'll give him credit where credit's due. But, you know, call me a skeptic here. Just because he's having a meeting with somebody doesn't mean he's moving to abolish the Federal Reserve and institute a gold standard.
Newsweek posted yesterday, citing Reuters, headline, Federal Reserve could see reduced role under business-friendly policy. Reduced role and abolishment are, you know, far cries from one another.
Right. And so far, you know, can he make appointments? You might know this, Daryl, because you're kind of into the political system a lot further than Johnny and I. Can he make the appointment until he's sworn in?
He can say, this is who I want.
Right.
But none of those become official until after he's sworn in.
Right. So all of this seems like speculation here, just because he goes and has a meeting with a guy. Now, that's not a bad thing, right? Like, the fact that he's even talking to someone from the Cato Institute isn't necessarily bad news, right? That's good, right? Because I doubt Barack Obama did that at any point in his tenure.
I don't think George Bush really had any meetings with people at Cato.
Right. So that's, you know, I can understand why people want to imagine the best is going to come out of this.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.